Moncrief on News Talk.
During the Rosa Tralee this week, as you possibly know, the eventual winner talked about having alopecia and even showed her selection of wigs. Of course, she's not alone in having that condition, but it did demonstrate how it can affect anyone at any age. Chloe Dineen, who lives in Cork, has had a similar experience. Chloe, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. So it was 2017, and was there any warning, Chloe, or did suddenly there were gaps in your hair?
Yeah, no, there was absolutely no warning. I was actually getting my highlights done at the time, and the hairdresser actually spotted it and said, "There's a little patch at the back of your hair." She said, "It's a little bit dry. It could be a little bit of eczema or a little bit of dermatitis, you know, just get it checked out." And I suppose it snowballed from there.
Yeah. And did you go and get it checked out, or did you think, well, it might be a bit of eczema and, you know, it might clear up?
Oh, no, I panicked straight away. Right. It was about the size of a 20-cent coin and just at the nape of my neck, and pure panic mode happened. So I went straight to my GP and got full blood work done, and everything came back clear. And the next port of call was to be referred to a dermatologist. But in Ireland, publicly or privately, you know, the wait can be quite some time. So as I was waiting to see a dermatologist, privately, the hair loss became significantly worse across the back, but I was still able to wear my hair down and I was still able to hide it before I did see the dermatologist.
Right. And when you eventually got to see the dermatologist, are there different sorts of alopecia, and were they able to tell you what it was?
Yeah, so there are many different forms of alopecia. The form that I have is called alopecia areata. It's probably one of the most common forms of alopecia. And it's, you know, it's one where if they took a biopsy or they looked at it under a microscope, it's a non-scarring form of alopecia. So when they look at the follicles, they're not scarred. So you might never get your hair back, but there is always a chance that your hair will come back because the follicle is not actually scarred. It's still alive. It's just being suffocated from an inflammatory disease, and the follicle is just being squeezed out. So that's mostly why alopecia areata can come and go and get significantly worse, or you could lose your hair and it might not ever decide to come back.
Right. And at that stage, was there any treatment or form of medication? I mean, like a mainstream medical one that you could follow?
No, there's nothing. There's not a whole pile of research that goes into it. I suppose a lot of the time it's seen as being a non-life threatening illness. But, you know, I was a 23-year-old girl who was in her 20s, carrying on my life, you know, happy out, started losing my hair. And to me, it was the end of the world. I very quickly slipped into depression. There has been multiple reported suicides in the community, one being a 12-year-old girl, Rio, in America, you know, because she lost her hair. So when they say it's a non-life threatening illness, yes, directly alopecia will not kill you, but it's really, really affects people's lives. You know, and you hear a lot of people saying, oh, but she's very healthy, you know, it's just her hair. But actually, if you speak to anyone who has gone through it, you know, it can severely affect your mental health.
Yeah, I would imagine so. So when you got the diagnosis then, did it advance very quickly in that in a few months it was significant, or did it take a couple of years?
It did. No, it advanced quite slowly, but it was advancing. And then all of a sudden, that summer it grew back, and I thought, oh, that was my little bout of alopecia, you know, done and dusted. And I forgot that it even happened. I was like, I'm moving on my life. That was a dark period, and, you know, back to normality. And then that November, it started to fall again. After it all growing back, it started to fall again. But this time it was like wildfire across my head. By December, I was down to about 80% of my hair. And that Christmas, early January, is when I eventually had to go about my first wig, which I probably could have done with doing maybe the end of November, start of December, but I didn't. One thing I do always say to people is, I got to the stage where I locked myself in the house. I couldn't go to the shop. I couldn't go to work. I couldn't go anywhere. I looked extremely ill. My eyebrows were falling out as well at the time, and I looked very ill. And I suppose I wasn't eating properly, I wasn't sleeping properly, so I was quite pale and I just shut myself away from the world. But as awful as it was to feel like I was giving in to the alopecia and feel like the alopecia had won and I was stepping inside in that wig shop and I was picking out a wig, actually, what I say to people now is, once I had the wig and I was able to go here, go there, pop to the shop if I wanted, people didn't even bat an eyelid. Mm. It was actually such a lifeline for me. The wig, this the thing that I wanted the least and I never wanted and I never wanted to give into it, was actually the thing that started my healing and allowed me to come back into myself again, you know?
Yeah. And like when you got the wig, did you still have clumps of hair or what stage were you at, kind of thing?
I did, yeah. So when I was in wigs, I had, you could say, a chunk of a ponytail on the top of my head and the very, very top of my crown, we'll say, and I used to tie it round and round. It was a very, very, very thin piece of hair. I used to tie it round in a bun and tie it under my wigs. And everyone used to say to me, would you not ever just cut that piece? It was down past my ears and everything. It was lovely and long. And nothing in me could make me cut that piece. I was hanging onto it. Why I left it, I don't know. But it was just something that I just had to hold on to. And I kept it there. And I'd tuck that in under my wigs then. And I'd wash it then and I'd blow dry it and the whole lot.
Yeah. All right. Well, no, that's kind of very understandable. And then it started to grow back again during COVID. Is that right?
Yeah, so when it fell out day one, I suppose I fell into, you know, a period of depression. And I, you know, as time went on, I said, right, OK, something has to be done here. So once I had the wig, I signed up to a mindfulness course. I think it was 8 weeks with Catherine Sutton in Cork, and it was kind of an intense mindfulness course. I did some meditation courses and I kind of started to learn about all these tools that I could do to help myself cope with the situation I was given. Now, when that was fine, I'd have these, I'd do it at home, do my bits, but I was carrying on normal life then, you know, life is busy for everyone. But when COVID hit, I think, you know, looking after mental health became a big thing and people were doing online exercise classes, online yoga classes. They were really, you know, looking after themselves and it was all about mental health because everybody was locked up at home. And I found that I was actually able to utilize those tools 10 times more during lockdown than I was, you know, when it was kind of normal life. And I had become very accepting of my alopecia at that stage. And I had, you know, past the mark of, you know, it's most likely to grow back under such a period of time and it's most likely to grow back if it's not in this pattern. And I wasn't reaching any of them. So I had actually come to the conclusion that my hair will not grow back and this will be forever. And that was fine. And then one day I said to my husband now, I said, you know, I said, my scalp is very dry. I can feel it there at the top. I said, I can feel like scaly bits and I'm moisturizing it. Nothing seems to work. I can still feel it. I said, will you take a picture so I can see, is it irritated or, and he turned around to me and he said, Chloe, that's not flakes, that's hair. And I said, what? Huh. This came completely out of the blue. And it was all these little, it was like I shaved the top. They were all little stubbly bits of hair. And from there, it started to grow back slower than it fell out. It fell out much faster than it decided to grow back. But I was telling one of the researchers there, I had in my head, I was telling myself, okay, alopecia areata is not scarring. The hair may grow back. So if I wanted to grow back, I'm going to keep my scalp in the most optimal position it can be in. So that if the follicle is on the fence saying, will I grow some hair here? Will I not? That if there's a really super healthy scalp, that hopefully that would push the bar a little bit and, you know, it would help me to get my hair back. So I suppose I really focused on really caring for my scalp and really looking after my mental health. But Sean, you know, it's such an unknown disease that whether or not that helped it grow back, I don't know. But to me, that just felt like the right thing to do at the time because I had tried everything, do you know?
You'd suspect, though, that there must be some sort of stress aspect to this.
Oh, absolutely. And like when the little patch was found, I think I saw every doctor in the country, and all they'll say to you is don't stress, you know. I remember seeing a doctor one time, and he was an older man, and I was at my wit's end at this stage, and he said, you know, you're a lovely girl, like, don't stress, it's just hair. And I said, oh, right. And I said, and have you lost your hair? And he said, no. And I said, well, then how do you know? And I wouldn't be a cheeky person.
but you reckon cabbage stalks on the head, that doesn't work?
No, but it is an old wives' tale, and it was 100% something I was going to try. And you know what? It was an older woman that I met up with who had had alopecia before herself. She got in contact with me when I was really, really in the depths of it, and she showed me how to do the cabbage stalks, and she said that she thinks that that worked for her and blah, blah, blah. But the more I thought of it afterwards, I was saying, no, I had a very smelly head for a good couple of weeks doing this a couple of times a day, and then putting a wig back on was horrific. But I get the point in it. What she was doing by tapping the cabbage stalks off your scalp, she was actually stimulating the follicles and stimulating the scalp. So I was like, there's probably some method to the madness, but I gave up on that after a couple of weeks. That one could not be sustained.
Chloe, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was Chloe Deneen there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.